Welcome to The Context. This episode is the third of a series, and I invite you to watch the other two as well. But you can watch this one alone and still gain value from it. We are talking about collective intelligence today. Collective intelligence is a wonderful tool in order to keep pace with the evolution of our complex world. And we are taking advantage of it every day as we are using the tools that civilization has built over thousands of years. In the previous two units, we highlighted in the first how the fact that our adaptability is stretched to the limits fragments the reality surrounding too many people, and when they throw in the towel for their ability to interpret it and act on it, they are still retaining their desire to understand, but they take advantage of excessive abilities of pattern matching, designing superstitions, conspiracy theories, rather than coherent reason and science-based solutions. So, solution one that any individual can use is to leverage the intelligence augmentation technologies that we all have and have had for many, many years. These technologies include reading, writing, the printing press, electronic communications, but of course, they also include and going to include ever more edge technologies like brain-computer interfaces and every possible way that we can leverage artificial intelligence and other ways that our civilization organizes itself. Complementary to the tools that the individuals can use, collective intelligence is our ability to structure, organize, and delegate both knowledge and tasks corresponding to leveraging that knowledge in order to develop functional objects around us, but also processes that would be completely unavailable to individuals or groups that are not using those delegation and organizational principles. This kind of collective intelligence is also something that we have always used. The simplest examples are how we organize society, whether we are talking about the Egyptians with their strictly hierarchical society, or the Middle Ages with feudal lordships, or the currently fashionable solutions of representative democracy that we love to criticize and that has a series of challenges in which we will very likely address and overcome in the coming years. Each of these phases has been perfectly aligned with the technologies that were available. It wouldn't have been possible for a pharaoh to learn about the impressions and the desires of his subjects with an instant poll. But today, in the third decade of the third millennium, we should be using instant polling for so many things, without worrying too much about the rate of participation, because then we can use statistics to extrapolate even from, let's say, 10% of a population just participating on an instant poll, the results over the entirety of the population. Of course, there are specialized companies that are using these kinds of tools, and we should learn from them and employ these tools much more widely. Another example of collective intelligence, of course, is Wikipedia. Something that everyone thought impossible, a collaborative, voluntary effort in order to pool knowledge without specific hierarchical decision-making, who writes one article, who corrects and approves the corrections. And still, Wikipedia does exist, and it gets every day enriched and refined, and mistakes get corrected. It is a wonderful product of our electronic civilization. Now, the next stage of collective intelligence is going to be even more ambitious. Today we have a word for it, which is not ideal in my opinion. We should search for better ways to describe it. We call them DAO, Decentralized Autonomous Organizations. They were invented a few years ago as blockchain technologies made it possible to have decentralized decision-making and governance structures to be designed, to be tested. And whether these are based on economic incentives or not, the initial experiments were not very successful. However, there are a lot of people who are passionate about this, and they are bringing new versions of DAOs in existence, aligned with and applied to different challenges and different problem sets. Imagine, for example, an equivalent of an Uber, a car sharing service, where the centralized organization, the Uber Incorporated equivalent, doesn't actually exist. Everyone is part of this blockchain-based decentralized autonomous organization in order to share the cars using the app and driving people, or in case of autonomous driving cars, making the cars available to the network and then benefiting from the economic value created that is distributed in the network and accrues to individuals or machines, as it were, proportionally to the value that that they created themselves. Now, the governance layers, of course, of these decentralized autonomous organizations are extremely important, potentially more complex, more expensive, more convoluted than not what we have today. A little bit like you can dream of a dictatorship, because things would be just so simple without all the talk, all the compromises, all the bureaucracy of a democracy, if we could just decide what is right and then everyone would have to follow it. Well, yes, democracy is expensive. Democracy is complex. Democracy could be labeled as wasteful, but it is much better than a dictatorship, for the very simple reason that it is a utopistic fallacy to believe that a dictator would be right and that they could decide what everyone else should be doing. So similarly, compared to democracy, when decentralized autonomous organizations are going to start to perform tasks basically imply what the participants should be doing through this new kind of collective intelligence and decision making, they will be accused of being unnecessarily complex, wasteful, bureaucratic, isn't it just better to elect those who are smart enough to make the decisions? You see the fallacy of representative democracy being quite well highlighted in this analogy, because pretending that just because someone was popular enough in order to be elected, or as it is in some countries, had enough money to spend in advertising to be recognizable for the voters so that they would be elected, that has nothing to do with that person's ability to collect, absorb, analyze, and act on information that represents the totality of our complex civilization. So, in order to keep pace with artificial intelligence, we both have to use intelligence augmentation, and please go to the previous episode of The Context to hear more about it and what its implications are, as well as we have to use better technology-based tools of collective intelligence that overcome the limitations of our current solutions. And if we are able to take advantage of both, we have a good chance of postponing, hopefully indefinitely, the moment when anyone or even everyone will give up to be able to have an impact in the world, dignity and purpose in the world, because we will be able to thrive as the human adventure develops further, becoming a multiplanetary species, looking out in the stars side by side with thousands or millions of types of artificial intelligences, asking better and better questions and searching for answers. Thank you, and see you at the next episode of The Context.